and he outsmarted him. So right now, my notes are not pulling up. That's not a good thing. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, if you will. We'll see if I can't get something to work here. In Ephesians, I was thinking about a time years and years ago where this was back when Tam and I were first married. I think Alicia was born. She was pretty young. And we were staying over at my mom and dad's house. And we, to give you a little history, a little bit of what my life was a little bit like and some of the things I experienced as a child, was that there were some pretty dark times in our life where our relationships were strained with my dad in particularly. And a lot of it was centered around his lifestyle, which involved a lot of alcohol and things of that nature, and just a lot of the ungodliness that comes along. And so there was a lot of turmoil when I was young that put me in a place with my dad where I really just didn't care whether he was alive or dead. Didn't care if he existed at all. And God has an amazing way of turning all that around. Of course, back then I wasn't saved, didn't know God. But later, when I turned 20 and came to know Christ, there was changes that God began to make in my heart towards my dad. And, you know, so instead of it being one that I despised him or his lifestyle and things of that nature, you know, God began to mend and build a real deep love relationship with my father that I can't explain. Okay, I can't explain that because in our natural, we don't do those things. In our natural, we build relationships based upon experiences and how well those experiences go. Okay, and so based on those experiences and how well they go, we'll determine in our natural how good that relationship tends to be. But when God comes in and begins to change and move upon our hearts, he begins to put in a different element and a different reason of why we're in relationship altogether. And so he begins to establish a new purpose, a new goal for relationships that we have, and begins to put them in a whole different light so that even when we're at odds with someone, we begin to see them with a love that's not of our own, and we can't explain that because it's not of our own. And so so I remember one particular night that we were over and spent the night at my parents, and it was just one of those evenings that I really wasn't sleepy, and I was up, and I was just, and this isn't indicative of every day of my life. This is an unusual scenario, okay? So I don't walk around my house at night praying all the time, but this particular night I did. I know that sounds shocking, but, you know, I don't. Most of the time I'm in bed sleeping these days. And then when I wake up, I'm wondering when I can go back to sleep again. So, I was up and I was praying and I was just kind of walking around the downstairs of the house. And I was declaring over my parents and that the spirit of alcoholism be broken. And just having myself a good, you know, war marching declaration time, just, you know, and just not really thinking that, you know, this sounds bad, but not really thinking that a lot of things would transpire out of that particular night of walking around praying. Isn't that great when we pray in faith and have no faith in the faith that we prayed? Sometimes we do that. And sometimes God just comes and says, well, let's see what I can do with that. And he steps in, and he did. And within a week, my dad had laid down alcohol altogether, and so it was truly amazing and shocking to me that happened. And so what ends up happening is that we begin to think that sometimes our prayers and the words that we prayed really had some significance, and they do. But there was more than just what was coming out of my mouth at that time to see what God was doing in my dad's life at that time. So there's something that there's a mystery of what God interjects himself into the words and the things that we say and the actions that we do at times to intervene and to impart some gift or miracle or happening into somebody's life. And so to see that as though Rob walked around the house and prayed and, oh, what an anointing, would be a mistake. Because what we don't see is that God is ready to work within his word, to work within what his children are willing to believe and declare and say. He is always willing to work on our behalf. And so we don't see the hidden element of God. Sometimes we just see it as us. And the problem with that is when we see it as us doing something, when it doesn't work, we see it as us failing. And so we put ourselves in this complex situation where if it succeeds, it's us. If it fails, it's us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not our position. That's not where we belong. We belong in the people of faith that declare the faith of God, that declare the goodness of God, and we just declare, and if it works, it's God. If it doesn't work, it will work eventually because it's still God, okay? We don't give up on what is happening or what doesn't happen. We know that through revelations that there's a group of people that are underneath the altar of God in the kingdom of heaven that is crying out, how long till you answer our cries? There's a group of people that I believe that if we look at those people, we'll understand that every prayer, every faith, every statement, everything that we have said is not going unanswered. It may just be being built up for a time, a day, and a season for that to come to its full fruition, but it will come to its full fruition. It will. Never give up. So since my notes are refusing to cooperate, I think my phone's there, isn't it? Let me see if I can pull it up on my phone. In Ephesians chapter 6, common passage of Scripture that we're used to, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this darkness, this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand." Excuse me. "You may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints." And always keep on praying for all saints. So, yeah, that's not going to work either. So when we think about the fullness of God or the being put on the full armor of God, here's your one thing I want you to take away from today, if you take nothing else away today, and that is that putting on the full armor of God is simply an armor that you receive from being full of God. Okay? It's an armor that you receive from being full of God. We look at the armor of God, and sometimes we as people, me especially, I'm looking for systems. If I do this, I get that. If I do 1, 2, 3, I get this, you know, like a recipe for getting something out of God. And there's such a mystery to this. It's kind of like cooking a meal. I can follow a recipe, but I can't make a meal. You know, because the people that can make a meal know how to add the other elements into that meal that make it really taste good. You know, I follow a recipe and, you know, and then I holler, "Tam," because I need help. Somebody else got to come along and put put the spice in, put in the things that really make it alive and make it taste good, make it something that's desirable. In the same way, you know, we can't just take on elements that we think if we do this and do that, that it's going to make everything work the way that God wants it to work. Well, we have to have that element of the Spirit of the Lord who interjects himself into what he's wanting to do in our lives so that it becomes alive inside of us. So that to put on the full armor of God is simply acquiring an armor that comes from a life that is full of God. If you look at Ephesians, what we see in several places throughout Ephesians is that Paul is emphasizing this fullness of God. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, he's praying and asking, saying, God, he's saying in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You know, for us to have the fullness of God in our lives, Ephesians has kind of given us a breakdown of how to walk that out. If having the full armor of God is being full of God himself, ourselves, then he shows us in Ephesians how to do that. It's different than the natural, ladies and gentlemen. It's different than if Danny goes to war, he's got all his gear and his combat, and he can go and he can put this on and he understands how it works. He's been trained in it. He knows what each piece works. He doesn't wear his holster around his neck. You know, he doesn't wear his helmet on his kneecaps. You know, he knows exactly where every piece goes. But to you and I in the kingdom of God, a lot of things are just a little bit mysterious because we don't see this armor that comes upon us because it's put upon us as we grow in him and become more mature in him. And as we get filled up with him, this armor is coming upon us. It's not something that you go and you grab and you put on. It's something that as you are involved in him, there is a transference of things that are coming upon you that you cannot necessarily put your finger on, okay? Because the Word of God, when it comes into our life, comes with God's DNA. You've heard Pastor talk about this a little bit, that it comes with God's DNA to produce Christ in us, to produce that in us. It's a mystery. We don't understand it, right? There's lots of things we don't understand. We don't understand how we eat food and how that food is changed, broken down into all its chemical elements, which feeds all the different parts of our body. We don't comprehend that. I mean, some of you might, but I don't. How does my stomach take food, break it down, put it into my blood system, send all the right nutrients and vitamins throughout my body and fill it to the right places and supply its need, and then we eat again? How does it do that? I don't get that. But somehow, in the same mystery, when we take in God, when we read the Word of God, that we are taking in things that are supplying to our very being in ways we don't understand. It's just being full. So the first step for us to be full in him, to have the fullness of God in us, is what he prayed here in Ephesians chapter 1, that we may know him better. It should be, it ought to be, our heart's pursuit is to know God more, to know him better, to know him better. to know him in different ways and different capacities and different functions, to know how he would operate in different areas and to discover him. And I like what Bill Johnson said. He was talking about how Jesus said that that my sheep know my voice and another they will not follow. And he said sometimes we put more faith in our ability to hear God rather than God's ability to be heard. So God wants to be heard today. He wants you to hear him today. He wants me to hear him today. He is confident that he can get the message across. He is confident that somewhere throughout your day, he can talk to you at whatever level that we allow him to talk to us. He's confident in that. And the way Bill put it, he says like this. He said, if you're talking to someone who's hard of hearing, what do? You adjust. You talk louder, or maybe you get right in front of them where they can see you, or you write it down on a piece of paper and you let them read it. Some way you adjust to communicate to them, and God does the same for us. He knows how to talk to us. He knows how to communicate to us. He knows how to reveal himself more and more to us. We need to get away from the idea that this is difficult and hard and start grabbing hold of the idea that it's a mystery and it's wonderful. Because God can miraculously, reveal himself to us in ways that we just don't even comprehend sometimes. Have you ever just been driving along and you see something and all of a sudden you get this word picture, that comes to mind? And all of a sudden now that word picture, you get a truth and a revelation, and all of a sudden God's saying something to you, or maybe he's saying something to you and you think, wow, that's pretty cool, and you think, okay. And then you go and all of a sudden you run into somebody and they start talking about something and you go, oh, I got the right word for you because I got, in some way, God somehow communicated to you a word that you were going to need to speak to that person at the right time in the right place. God can do that. And we just think that it's us, It's me. It's all me. That's scary. Actually, it's all him, and he just has wonderful ways of intervening and working in our lives. So it's important for us to get to know him. It's important for us to grow in him and understand him. And when you're wanting to learn about a person, you want to spend time with them. You want to spend time learning about them. You want to talk to people that know them. You want to listen to people that have been close to them all their lives, or when you're dating somebody or getting ready to marry someone, you might talk to their family and to their friends and find out more details about their life, and you just want to get to know them. So you're trying to grab up all this information about this person, and God has given us ways, and he's given us his word for us to discover and know him. He's given us in Ephesians chapter 3, it is. Or chapter 4, I'm sorry, says that he is, let me find a place since I don't have my notes. In verse 11, says it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So he's given some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Has your attitude ever been a little bit like mine, where things that maybe you're not that familiar with, that you kind of get that, yeah. He's an apostle. He's a prophet. He's an evangelist. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. Yeah. You ever been that way? Somebody comes along and says, hey, man, you got to listen to this guy. He's awesome. And you, yeah. It's because there's a part of us in our flesh that doesn't want these things. There's a part of us that is tired of it. There's a part of us that in our flesh that works against the things of the Spirit. Galatians tells us that the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit, and they'll never be in agreement with each other. So you can guarantee that somewhere in your life, maybe on a daily basis, you're going to hear that, yeah, 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 yeah. When you hear that still small voice saying, hey, you need, why don't you go read the word? Yeah, yeah. You know, why don't you spend time in prayer? Yeah, yeah. How about some worship music? How about we play some, why don't you shut off the TV for a little bit and just, you know, steal away? I'm tired. Yeah, yeah. We hear that voice all too often, right? But God has given us apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints to build us up till we attain the unity of the faith and grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ. So when we think about being full of God and putting on the full armor of God, the ways that we do that is first, our goal and pursuit should always be that we should know Him better. That should always be our goal. The only reason for listening to apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers is so that we can know Him better. That's the only reason. Not to find some trick or slick deal that we can get away with something or do something fancy, but just to know Him better. I love listening to preachers that just have such a neat perspective of Jesus Christ. That you just listen to Him and you go, wow, I have just never seen Him that way. I've just, and you go that, and immediately your spirit goes, yes, yes, that's Jesus. That's how He is. That's who He is. And you grow in those moments as you listen to people talk about the Jesus that we believe in and we serve. You grow as you listen to people tell their stories and their testimonies, and you hear what God's doing, and you grow as God has put in place these people which He's anointed and given gifts for our growing up and maturing in the body of Christ. So we could be full. So the reason that we be full is so that we have the whole armor of God. See, now that I'm talking about this, I'm remembering some of my notes. The first part actually was supposed to be this. Why do we need the armor of God? Why do we need it? Why do we need the armor of God? Well, number one, because you have an enemy, right? Sometimes we forget that we have an enemy. Sometimes we think that life is just as good or whatever as it's going to be, and we don't realize that there's a being out there. There's actually more than a being, because it says rulers and authorities and spiritual evil or wickedness in heavenly realms. There's the demonic forces. There's this whole entourage of beings that are set to do what? To make your life a little better? To make sure you have some, I'm being silly. These have one purpose, and that's what Jesus said, was to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They wake up when you wake up. They're probably not even waking up. They're probably busy all night long, planning, plotting, strategizing. And if we think that in our minds, our single minds, that we're anywhere close to their strategy or anywhere ahead of them, we are fooling ourselves. Because this enemy has been around a long time. They have studied mankind from the beginning, and they know the weaknesses, and they know how to spot, and they know how to trap, they know how to ensnare, they know how to build their case against you. And to destroy our lives. That's their single goal. So the reason you need an armor is because you have an enemy. The second reason Ephesians 6 tells us that you need the armor is because there is an evil day coming. So that you can be able to stand in the evil day. And actually the scripture says that the days are full of evil in Ephesians. So there is an evil day coming, so you can anticipate. I know, don't get me wrong here, I know we're supposed to anticipate the goodness of God. And that's certainly there. But you anticipate the goodness of God because evil exists. Does that make sense? Because there's a in a day, maybe in this day, or in a day coming, there's an evil day coming in which what will be required of you is whatever you may have inside of you. Whatever you are filled with is what you're going to be able to battle with, and that's all the armor that you have is what you have put in. Okay? You can go through the armor of God and say, well, it's loins girt about with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the shoe shod, the preparation of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Every single one of those are connected to the Word of God. Every single one. Every single one of those we get from His Word as we read it. We don't understand how, but as we get into Him and we know Him and we get to know Him better, there's as though, if you use your imagination and what you know, Hollywood special effects could do, just imagine as you're reading the Word of God, as you're before God Himself and you're getting to know Him better, just imagine, if you would, that there's just layers of armor that are coming over you. That there's just layers of armor that are equipping you. Okay? Just imagine that as you read the Word. Because, you know, you don't know what's going to be required of you. When Jesus was led out into the wilderness, He didn't know, let's see, which artillery do we need? Or do I need Air Force or Marines? Or do I need, what battle tactic do I have to have? You don't have that list in front of you. All you have is the ability to be full of God, to be fully clothed in the armor that comes from being full of God. So when you go out there and Jesus was being led out into the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, and we see that all He was able to pull out was, well, I shouldn't say what all He was able, but He was able to stand there and resist the devil because He was fully clothed in the armor of God. And He did it with a word. But not just a word, but a word that has been breathed upon by Holy Spirit in a way that's produced the mystery armor and weapons that He had. So we need to get to know Him. When the more we get to know Him, the more clothed we are. We do that through seeking His face, through listening to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. From this point on, I'd like to say in my own life, every time I hear about, I don't want to be silly about it, I know there's a lot of people out there that are claiming things that aren't there, but when you see people that are operating in a gift, that gift is meant there to be a blessing to the body of Christ. That gift is there meant to build us up and to equip us. And, you know, it's not only just that when you see somebody in a gift. Why not be a candidate for that gift yourself? Why not set yourself in the opportunity? If God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers, who are they? Where are they? Do they sit in our pews? Probably so. Because we're not necessarily seeing those things working in the full function of what we would like to see them work in. But they are meant to function because they're meant to equip the body of Christ. So if we're missing that, then one thing we can do is say, God, raise up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers within our midst. Help connect us to others that are already functioning in that gift. But Lord, by all means, raise it up in our midst. Because it's nice to hear from prophets that are, you know, in another state, another town, but it's even better to hear from them when they're sitting right next to you, you know. It's nice to receive from gifts through video messages or recorded messages of some sort, but it's even better when they can lay hands on you themselves and they can pray for you, they can teach you, and they can share with yourself because you are better equipped. Why? Because there's that mystery element that you can't lay your hands on. You can't lay your hands on it because it's God that's entwined in that word, in that teaching, in that instruction, in that impartation. It's God that's entwined in that, and you just can't get it just by reading it in a book alone. Okay? It's the inner workings of the body of Christ. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 said there. Each part supplying. So we do that by getting to know Him. We do it by submitting ourselves to His teaching. And next time the radio comes on and it's a speaking or a preacher on there, don't just go, yeah, yeah. and turn it. Say, God, I thank you for the teaching of your word. I'm not saying you have to listen to teaching all the time, but don't shun it to the point that it's not a part of your everyday life. Don't shun it to a point to where because after a while, if we begin to despise the teaching, how are we going to embrace the other gifts if we're despising the teaching of God's word, or if we're despising the reading of God's word, the listening of God's word? If we're despising these things, those little things creep in until we're not putting on him, but we're putting on just other things in life. Does that make sense? So we need to get to know him. Secondly, is we need to understand that there is a power in the spirit behind what we do. And when I say what I mean by that is that it's one thing to stand up and tell people the truth in a way that is not filled with the love and the grace of God. And you can do that, and you can actually do more damage to a person than what you do good. But if you can tell people the truth in love in a way that actually brings life to them. Okay? So in Ephesians, let's see if I can find it here. Chapter 3. We'll just start in verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So to know him and to get to know him so that we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, to submit ourselves to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that we can be filled to the fullness of God, to be rooted and grounded in his love so that we can begin to comprehend with all saints what is the height, the length, the depth, and the breadth of the love of Christ Jesus, love of Christ and God for us, to be filled with the fullness of God. Do you see the theme here? That we're to get to know him. We're to receive from his instruction and his word, and we have to embrace the mystery of what he builds in us because we don't always understand it. But we're also to walk in the spirit of love. In Galatians chapter 5, I think it is, verse 9, it says, nope, that's not that one. Got the wrong address. It says in Galatians that he's talking about circumcision and uncircumcision. He said, none of that stuff matters. He said, but what counts is faith. Here it is. Verse 6. Thank you. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's pretty powerful. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So as we get to know him, as we learn of who he is and his nature, and we receive of this power of that word that's transforming our life, just as I think it's in Thessalonians says that when we see him, that we will be like him. Corinthians tells us that when we behold him as in a mirror, that we're being changed into that self-same image, that there's this power working inside of us. Now as we're being changed, there is a operational function that has to be in place, and that is to walk in the fullness of the love of God, where we are our intent and our purpose is only to glorify him and to love people, to love him and to love people. That would be our intent. So as we operate in this love, it's a totally different control atmosphere, if you would. I mean, we have seen in the history of church, we have seen a lot of things done in the name of the Spirit of God that were not in love, right? In fact, in Luke we see the story where Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, and on his way to Jerusalem, he was going to pass through Samaria, and he had sent on messengers ahead of him, and they went and was telling these people in Samaria that, hey, Jesus is coming, and you know, he's coming through. I don't know, maybe they were booking meetings for him along the way. It's something that was going on, but they were preparing something for them. And the Samaritans were miffed at him because he had his face set to go to Jerusalem. And so they didn't want him to stop. They said, we don't have nothing for you. Bookings? No, we're all booked up. We don't have time for you. You know what they were saying? Yeah. They were just saying, we don't have time for you. Yeah, you know, you don't see things the way we do. We have problems with those Jewish people over there in Jerusalem because, you know, they say only in Jerusalem can you worship God. And of course, we believe that only here in Samaria can you worship God. So we, you know, go on. And here James and John, Boanerges, sons of thunder, said, you know, all excited about this knowing and walking with Jesus and believing in the power of God, seeing people touched, raised from the dead, healed, all these miracles. Nothing was impossible at this point, but forgot about the spirit of love and decided to say, they said, Jesus, they're just not very nice. They don't like you. They don't like us. And, you know, we think it'd be a good idea if we just prayed fire down from heaven and just consumed them all, like they did back in the Old Testament, you know. And Jesus didn't really mix any words. He was pretty incensed by their attitude at that point. In fact, the scripture kind of says that he censored them. It's like he just, don't say another word. Because the spirit that's coming out of your mouth, you don't understand where it's coming from because it's not God. You know those times whenever we feel, you ever have those times whenever you're just feeling really gushy or you're feeling like, oh, man, God's good. It's almost like a spiritual drunk because everything's good, you know. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's lovely, you know. Hey, Rob, your car just blew up outside. Ah, it's okay. It's all fine. House just burnt down, Rob. Yeah, it's all fine. You know those moments. You know, those are very powerful moments, and we underestimate them. Because in those times, that is the Spirit of the Lord that's building Himself inside of your heart. But we walk away thinking so much that, well, that was just us. Or, well, he's really a mush, or he's really gushy. No, that is the Spirit of the Lord replicating Himself inside of your heart. So that as you function with knowing Him and knowing His Word and knowing the riches of His inheritance that He's given us, because we serve a God that is not poor. He is not lacking in anything. There is not one thing, I'm pretty sure the Scripture tells us, that nothing is impossible for Him. I'm pretty sure the Scripture tells us that nothing is impossible for those that believe, right? So there's nothing that is lacking in Him at all to do the miraculous every single day, every single moment. Nothing. But what is lacking sometimes is our understanding of Him and how He wants to function in this moment, at this time, right here, right now. And we're not engaged sometimes in doing that. The Scripture tells us in Ephesians, see if I can find the address this time. Maybe Pam will help me again. Says, talks about redeeming the time for the days are evil. I believe it's in chapter 5 there somewhere. Verse 15, chapter 5, be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And here's your recipe for being filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourself one to another in reverence for Christ. So our recipe for being filled with the Spirit is to walk around speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in our heart unto the Lord. That's just going to make me look stupid. No, it's going to keep you full of the Spirit of the Lord. Because there is something about music that goes deep within us, that deep into our spirit, that as we are singing and worshiping the Lord, or whether we're just, however you see it. I used to talk to guys that listened to this Christian music that was real heavy. You know, it's like, I mean, it was, when I say heavy, I don't mean gravity. I mean like rock heavy, you know, head banging, you know. And I've told this to you guys before. One time I went up, took a few guys up to a concert up at Willard High School that had PFR and Jars of Clay. Back before Jars of Clay was real big. And I mean, it was head banging music. And the kids were on their chairs and... you know, and so, you know, me trying to experience this, so I'm up there going, ow. So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I'm not getting a whole lot out of this at all. But then this leader of PFR, he stopped and he quoted Scripture, and I mean the anointing just over that place, and it was beautiful. And I've talked to some of these people that they're like, how can you get anything out of that? Can you really worship that? And he's like, oh yeah, the Lord. So if we see you bebopping down the hallways doing this, we just want to hear Jesus every once in a while, okay? So here, we want to hear that come out of your mouth once in a while. So that way we know it's you, and you know, you're not having a demonic seizure of some sort. So, but that's an integral part of being full, is to be getting to know Him, submitting ourselves to His teaching and to the Word that's being taught, being in it daily, regularly, all the time, singing and making melody in our heart, being filled with the love of God, understanding the love of God. Every day when you get up in the morning, I want you to have the idea of the Apostle John. When John talked about himself, he said the disciple whom Jesus loved. I want you to have that perception. I know that feels corny and it feels odd, but when you get up in the morning, you need to have this position that God loves me, and He loves me immensely, and He loves me as much as He loves anybody else. He might even love me more. So that He loves me enough today that He's going to talk to me today. He's going to walk with me today. He's going to do great things through me today. He's going to be awesome in me today. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, if I can find it again, maybe it's chapter 2. It says, I'm not finding it, but it says that the reason that God is wanting to show His goodness in our lives is so that He can show His wisdom and His wisdom is what I remember it saying to the heavenly realms, to the rulers and the principalities. Basically, let me just say it my way. He's wanting to show off in you so that He can show the devil that he lost, okay? He's wanting to be great in you. He's wanting you to know how much He loves you. He's wanting you to know how much He can do through you. He's wanting you to know that He will walk with you every moment of the day. He's wanting you to know that you can be as full of Him as anybody else. All it takes is just being submitted to His Word, being in his word, getting to know him better, being filled with the love of God, being yielded to being open to teaching and the instruction of the word that comes on. It's a body thing sometimes. And he's wanting to do great so that he can put all those demons who have all these plans to destroy you, he can put them to shame. And show how good he is in your life. Bill Johnson said, in talking about the parable of the sower, he was talking about the seed that's sown on the thorny ground. And when that seed is the word of God and it's sown on the thorny ground, there's nothing wrong with the word of God. The word of God's being sown. The soil is receiving the word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that ground is its willingness to receive other seed. Okay, so we have a challenge in our life with all the saturation of information that comes our way, all the avenues through technology, media, television, gossip, news, gossip, all these things. We have all this information coming at us that there's so many voices that our challenge, it's challenging to be full of God when we're full of so much else. So to do that, Ephesians tells us, to put off the old man. Put off the things that are filling our lives that are not doing anything for you. Put off the things that are time-consuming, that are stealing away from your time to grow and to get before him, to yield before him, to allow that word to come into you. I like another thing Bill Johnson said. He's talking about the word, being in the word. He said, you know, some people say, well, I don't get anything out of it, or I don't remember what I read. He said, I don't remember what I had for breakfast last week, but it sure nourished me. We make too much of our ability to hear instead of God's ability to be heard. So when we get before the Word of God, understand God is alive inside of that. And he's going to breathe on it at the right time, in the right place, in the right moment in your life. All you have to do is get before him so that you can be full. Sing. Make a melody in your heart. Why? So we can be full. Because being full, then we're fully equipped. We have put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against our adversary. We can stand in the evil day. Stand for what purpose? So that God can show his infinite wisdom, can show his infinite power and his glory that he wants to reveal through you and I to the powers that be. You know there is an enemy, right? You know he's defeated, right? Do you know that God intends for you to make sure he knows he's defeated, right? Stand with me if you will. Make full use of the time, for the days are evil. When I think about that, I think about all the times that I've come to church and I've just thought about leaving. Just what am I going to be doing after church? What am I going to be doing? I'm thinking about all these things, but about what's going on here at times. Anybody ever done that? I'm thinking about where we're going to have lunch, or what we're going to have for lunch, or how quickly can I get home to have my nap? We think about all these other things, and sometimes we're never engaged in what God's doing right here. Sometimes it's moments at home that we're giving away to other things, but redeeming the time, or making full use of the opportunities. What opportunity do we have here today? What opportunity? We have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord. We have an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want more. I want to know you better. We have an opportunity to say, Lord, heal me. Lord God, we have an opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to know him better in our victories and in our failures. We have an opportunity to know him in a way that he can raise us up, in a way that he can pick us out of the ashes, heal our brokenness, fill our emptiness, empower our powerlessness, give us wisdom and knowledge and revelation through his Spirit. We have an opportunity today to do that. So how would you and I in worship, in this opportunity, this time we're going to be here, you're probably going to be here for another, how much longer? Well, I want to give them time. 25, 30 minutes. Okay, so you got 25, 30 minutes. Okay. You can spend that 25, 30 minutes thinking about what you're going to do after that 25, 30 minutes, or where you would rather be. Or we can spend that 25, 30 minutes saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Lord, I want to worship you. I want to know you better. Why do we worship him? Because we want to know him better. We want to know him better. Because when we know him better, when we see him, we're being changed. We're being changed in that same image. And just armor is coming on. Armor's coming on. You get full of God, you'll pick up your arm. You'll pick up your arm and you go, wow, where did that shield of faith come from? Why? Because you're full of God. You didn't go find it and put it on. You just got into him. Said, Lord, I want to be full of you. Right? So what are we going to do with the next 25, 30 minutes? I'm asking myself that because it matters. Make full use of the time. Amen.
Changing grace. Lord of my heart, Lord of hope. He's Lord in the valley of decision. In the valley of decision. He is Lord, He is Lord. In the valley of decision. When I don't know which way. When I don't know which way. He is the voice behind me saying, go here or go there. He is the Lord. The Lord. He's the Lord when I don't know. He's the Lord when I can't see. He's the Lord when I don't know. He's the Lord when I can't see. He's the Lord in the valley of my decision making. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His own name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. He'll tell me where to go. The Lord is my shepherd. He'll tell me where to go. I believe. I don't know who this is for. Maybe few and maybe more. But I know He's saying today, He's the Lord when you don't understand. He's the Lord and He's not left. He's not left your side. He's the Lord, just stay still. For He is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. Stay still and listen for the voice of your shepherd. Stand still and listen for the voice of your shepherd. Listen for that still small voice telling you which way to go. He will bring peace in the midst. He will bring peace in the midst of it. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. You unravel me with a melody, and You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Now no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. From my mother's womb, You have chosen me, and love has called my name. And I've been born again into Your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer by songs of delight.
God, oh yes, you split the sea.